Welcome to Basket Talks new episode. This is Mirdemir Demirer from Basket Talks. In this episode, we are with Dorian Ailey. Hi, Coach, how are you?
Doing wonderful, man. How about you?
I'm great, too. Thank you for asking. And thank you for joining me. It's really a pleasure to having you here. We've been talking about it around a year, and finally, we are here to talk. I'm super excited to talking with you right now. Thank you for joining.
Thank you so much for having me. And I love what you're doing. The page is incredible, man. I love what you're doing. The page looks great. I love Turkey, too. I've been there a few times. And I enjoy the culture, the food. I want y'all to enjoy more Turkish coffee and not go to Starbucks, though. The Turkish coffee is better than Starbucks, but the line in Starbucks is like crazy. So.
Yeah, like Turkish people, I don't know why, but they don't like the Turkish coffee or not, the younger ones, but I don't know.
Crazy.
By the way, thank you for your positive thoughts about the page. Same feelings with you. Your page is really incredible and very inspirational and informative. Thank you for sharing your amazing information with us. And how is your trainings going? Is everything great?
Everything's good, man. We're really busy now. You know, we are heading into the season. So this is usually the busy time. It's an ongoing process. So we do have kids that train year round, but we also have an influx of those right before the season that they want to get their game tight or fine-tuned. And sometimes it's a little bit harder when you wait that little short period of time before basketball season starts. So we're busy. Things are good. Kids are getting better. Really excited about some of the online stuff that we're doing. I'm excited about what the future holds for Evolve and B-Ball 101 and everything else that we have going on.
Actually, I have a question about your vision for the future of your company. But now I want to make a flashback. You bring an invaluable perspective as a former player. And could you share some highlights from your playing career, like including the challenges you faced, milestones you achieved, and lessons you learned?
Very good question. For me, I had a very unique route that I think lends to me being a player development coach. And the reason I say this is that coming out of high school, I had three iffy offers to play college basketball. And it was because I already had two knee surgeries. So at that point, I was second in the city in scoring behind a guy by the name of Antonio Lang. You can look him up. He was Grant Hill's roommate at Duke, had a phenomenal career, and is now an assistant coach with the Atlanta Hawks. So we were in the same area. I was second in scoring that year. Not a very, very good team. I wasn't 6'8". Look, I was so unsure that I was going to get a college scholarship that I actually joined the National Guard, the armed services here in America, just to make sure I had college paid for. But I made a call to a good friend of my father, who was a coach at a local community college, Bishop State. And he was willing to sign me on crutches. I was on crutches. He signed me and believed that I would get back 100%. And it was a blessing. The irony of it is that I used to tease people about going to Bishop State Community College. I ended up playing basketball at Bishop State. It was such a great experience. 14.5 points my first year, 19.5. My second year, I had a state high of 43. And then I had multiple Division I offers at that point. And I ended up choosing North Florida, which is crazy, a D2 over Division I offers because it was closer to, I'm advising young people out here not to do this, but it was closer to my girlfriend at the time. So I wanted to be close. Just made a decision that probably wasn't the best basketball decision. I still had a great experience and it ultimately led me to where I am. Played short stints in Mexico, professional tours in Mexico and Austria. It was a gap between. I was in corporate America for about 7-8 years and I did a lot of different things. And I should have really stayed longer pursuing the professional side of it, but I already had a daughter. At that point, I said, I need to work. I need to make money. When you don't have those people like me, the people who can talk to you about the path of professional sports, that these first few jobs are going to be low paying jobs. And I had some offers and I was just like, nah, I can make that at home. Not knowing that in 3 years, easily I could have been a 6-figure guy in Europe based on my athleticism, my ability to shoot the ball, things of that nature, but you learn. And so now all of that together is how I teach. I talk to kids, I advise kids based on the fact that I did not have the resources. I didn't have anybody I could go to who knew the game, who knew European basketball, knew American basketball, knew the process of getting seen, knew agents. It was just a different world at that time. And I think now social media has opened it up, but that's my background. And I started training in 2003. So this is year 20. It's amazing, man. When I think back, two decades of developing players, we have had an incredible list, NBA, WNBA, Olympians, future Hall of Famers, NCAA record holders. We just have such an incredible journey. But more importantly, we have a beautiful record of players who are now doing phenomenal things in TV. I think I played a small role. I contributed in some way, built work ethic or something that helped these people understand that you can take this basketball stuff and you can go in other areas of life and be extremely successful. So those people and the everyday lawyers and doctors and everyone who has been through my program, I'm extremely proud of them, whether they play professional ball or not.
Thank you. And with that, right now, you are one of the most important coaches in the world right now. I can say for me, one of the best. As you said, you work with some of the legends. Without these legends, you are working with athletes from all ages. In your experience, what are the most challenging part of working with younger players as they get older?
One of the hardest things is that it's a double-edged sword. So you build rapport. You got a great relationship with the kid. Sometimes they get too comfortable with you. They can't necessarily hear it from you the way they could at some point. And then you have others who, no matter what, they trust, they continue to want to ascend and get better. So they listen to you and they can follow direction. So I think one of the biggest issues or challenges is just getting kids to sometimes separate the relationship. It's the same with parents. It's like, we love our parents, but we can't hear it from them sometimes. They tell us to do something, we can't hear it. Some stranger comes up and tells them the same thing. And they're like, oh, wow, I get it now. In training, that's always a challenge. So you have to change up the rhythm. Sometimes you can be fun and have fun, and sometimes you got to be hard-nosed, serious, locked in, and very, very demanding. But I think it's a different generation. It's no knock at the new generation, but the way we could communicate with kids 20 years ago, we no longer can communicate with kids like this. You can't go in on them the same way because it's just a different environment. And society is so sensitive. Hard coaching is sometimes frowned upon. It's needed. Hard coaching is needed. Now, I'm not talking about military, demeaning, disrespectful. I'm talking about demanding that I know you have more in you and I want to get that out of you. And it's very, very important for parents and players themselves to allow people to pull what's in them out in order for them to be successful on and off of the court. For me, that's the biggest challenge. It's a generational challenge. But the beautiful thing is I've stayed in it throughout. It's not like I left the game, came back and it was like, whoa, I saw the gradual change and I was able to adapt in different ways. Now, the core belief, the essence of who I am as a trainer, that's never going to change. We're going to get better. We're going to do our best. We're going to push and reach certain aspects of our game that we may have not believed we could do based on our work ethic and dedication. And I'm non-negotiable in those things. You're going to come in, you're going to work, and you are going to get better, or we're probably not going to be the long-term spot for you. Because if you're not getting better, that means you're not going home working on it. That's not the type of player or athlete that we want to train.
And as we talk about a little bit your system, I saw some of your drill videos. You posted something about the ball handling and yes. Said you need to be uncomfortable if you want to develop your ball handling. And I tried it. It's 2 days I tried, and the third day I feel like Kyrie. Like it's really helpful for me to like dancing with ball. And Can you elaborate on the principles behind your training system? How does it directly impact in-game performance?
My background is a health science background. I have my biomechanics certifications with DBC. You know, I have other certifications. My biggest thing is incorporating the body, understanding the body and how we can use the body to help us perform skill on the court. That's number one. It's the foundation is rooted in the physiology, how we can lean our body in order to gain more speed, how we can drop to create more explosive power in our body, but understanding those mechanisms and explaining it in a very simple way so that kids, I don't have to do speed and agility to get faster. Of course, we're going to do speed and agility. We're going to do some strength and conditioning, but it's ways to position your body. It's mechanisms inside of the body that we can utilize, that we can call on to help us be more explosive and more balanced and things of that nature, and just understanding how the body works. The next is actually simplifying what we do. So shooting and ball control are often made extremely complicated. So for me, I remember waking up like literally out of a sleep, called a good friend of mine, Jay Hernandez. Now, Jay is one of the best trainers in the world. He's an assistant coach with Brooklyn now. I said, Jay, I think I got it. We've been doing drills, but I got principles now, like ball control principles, not drills. If you understand the principles, you will automatically understand the drill. So we would take drills and we would incorporate. So it could be a drill that, like, everyone does the ball circle where they drop a ball and they circle the ball, circle the ball, circle the ball. Your fingers are pointed out. There's no time really that you're going to be dribbling where your fingers are pointing this way. So I do the same drill, but my fingers are pointing straight down, because that's where the hand would be on crossovers or between the legs or behind the back. It's like understanding principles so that we're not wasting time doing drills that are ineffective and don't help us in games. But the in-game performance, we do literally what we're going to do in games 90% of the time. So we spend 90% of the time on things that we will do 90% of the time. Now, we have a bunch of creative ways to do it so that it doesn't get boring. Obviously, we have a finite set of skill in basketball. You got to be able to finish at the rim. You got to have a mid-range. You got to be able to knock down shots. You got to be able to defend and pass. But more importantly, whatever we teach, it has to be geared towards a winning style of basketball. And I think we miss this sometimes. It's a winning brand of basketball. Can your skill be inserted into a team game and you actually help players win, help teams win rather? If you have a guy who's ball dominant, but he goes to a team where Kyrie's on it, I don't care how ball dominant you are, how good you are with the ball, you're not better than Kyrie. So now what can you do? Do you go to the bench, or can you say, no, I'll just slide over into the off guard position because I can catch and shoot. I know how to read screens, right? I know how to play without the ball. So now you take a kid to another level when they have those type of diverse skill sets. So now they can be inserted in games and they can manage. They can go from a starring role to a role player, back to a starting role. It depends on the situation, but they have the skill set in order to do it.
I just want to talk about, you have a book right now, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Can you describe a little bit your feelings about the book and the content about the book?
The book for me is 43 years compressed into 76 pages. It's everything. So it talks about my upbringing and the things that I recognize from the way my parents handled my career. Like, my dad was a great father, one of the greatest men you would ever come in contact with, but he wasn't an athlete. So I didn't have his athletic influence. My mom was the athlete. Her emotions sometimes I can tell rubbed off on me in certain ways. Had my dad been there, maybe I would have approached and not been so emotional in the game of basketball. So you get envision Russell Westbrook. I was Russell Westbrook. Similar athleticism, passion, maybe didn't know how to win, but I was so passionate and I wanted to win so badly, but I just didn't have that background. So the book, Could You Be the Reason Your Kid is Trash? So everybody is like, oh man, the title's so harsh. But if you're in basketball, you know, this is a term we use all the time. Steph Curry says it after he plays bad. Oh man, I was terrible. I was trash. It's just the language we use. But right under that is a tagline that says 8 keys to maximizing your young athlete's potential. And so it's 8 do's and don'ts. So it's divided. These are keys. Key 1, key 2, key 3. And they're do's and don'ts. Do, understand your parenting style. Don't shield your kids from all negative experiences. Do, build ironclad confidence in your athlete. And so the way the book is written, where each chapter leads to chapter 8 or key 8, which is developing that ironclad confidence in your athlete. Everything up until that point, you can go back to and you can realize that, oh, it was leading me to helping this kid be the most skilled player they could be, the most mentally and emotionally tough, and a kid that really understands their place in this world, not just on the court, but their place in this world. That level of confidence, because that's what sport can do for kids who play it. But the book reached number one on the new seller list in basketball coaching and got as high as number five on the bestseller list. And we're still doing some marketing, you know, podcasts, things of that nature, because we really wanted to get out. I think, honestly, and not just saying it because it's my book, I think it's a game-changing, life-changing book. And if a parent can get their hands on it, it's going to change the game in terms of how they view this entire game of basketball, and they'll start to understand certain aspects of basketball. I have an entire key or chapter dedicated to the politics. We always talk about politics. So if parents want to understand how to get around it, how to make their kid politics proof, read the book. The book will help you do that. And parts at the end of each chapter that make you reflect, and you have an action step. So it's reflection and act. And I just hope people feel what was behind it when I wrote it.
Yeah, thank you. I can't wait to buy it and read it and talk with you, ask some question about the book. In your expertise, what are the key skills young players should prioritize today? Like, could you highlight common mistakes they make both in gameplay and lifestyle choices, and how can they avoid this?
It's not the kids, it's us. It's coaches, it's parents, it's leagues. This insatiable appetite in America for players to be good early, as if getting good early means you're going to be good late. But we have this big debate in America in terms of athleticism. Are players better athletes today? And usually the common argument is eighth graders can do dunks Jordan was doing in college. Because they're doing it earlier doesn't mean that their max vertical leap at age 22 will be higher than Michael Jordan's. And it's a good chance it won't, because sometimes if you start too early, you burn out over time. When you burn out, you never get a chance to realize your true potential. We look at kids who were phenomenal, and he still got to North Carolina the whole nine, but it was a guy by the name of Seventh Woods. Phenomenal. His eighth grade and ninth grade mixtapes, it might have been seventh grade. He was dunking. It was so crazy, man. It was like, this kid can dunk, but we never really even saw those highlights like that after. It seemed like he lost his hops, but I don't think he did. I thought he was just so ahead of everyone else that people caught up. That's one of the common things, is our expectations are too high. So when kids start, I say kids start with basic motor coordination, things like catching the ball, balancing, contorting the body. It should be really chaotic in the environment. It shouldn't be so strict and disciplined. It should be fun. So one of the things that I do in terms of plyometric training or speed and agility training, we do something called superhero games. Like, who's your favorite superhero? Now, do you remember how he used to land? He used to land softly. He would land softly. And they will get into character, right? And like, okay, I want you to land soft. When you jump on the box, I want you to land like a superhero. And kids start to have fun with discovering their bodies, understanding hand-eye coordination, understanding how certain drills, and here's one of the big things. I don't think that coaches are equipped enough to understand how humans learn and how athletes learn. I think we throw a lot of stuff out and we don't know if it really works. In reality, we don't know the process of development and learning. And I think we need to do a better job. When kids get into 5-on-5 situations, success is not the basketball going in the hole. Success for me is, oh, they understood spacing. First week, everybody was grabbing at the ball. Next week, everybody's spaced out. If that person is dribbling his way, he gets away, or he comes and receives the ball quickly, like with a dribble handoff. Their understanding, the framework of basketball, is not necessarily about, did they score 30 points? Did they score 30? Did they have 10 assists? Too young to even care about it. Competitiveness, body awareness, and understanding of basic concepts of basketball should be at the forefront of kids when they first start playing.
Yeah. So your trainings are in your facility. You called it B-Ball 101.
B-Ball 101 and Evolve Sports. Yeah, Evolve Basketball Development Center is the facility that I co-own.
Yeah. As we talked about in the beginning, I want to hear your vision for the future of this company.
The vision for me is at some point, I'm 50, I'll be 52 very soon. This is real gray, right? Real gray hair. So at some point I have to get off the court. You know, I've been making steps towards that for a while, but because I'm so married to the game, I'm never going to really be off the court 100%. I'm always going to be training in some capacity, probably until I'm 90. I don't know. The online presence is huge. Our social media presence is huge. Our YouTube channel, all of these things we're focusing on growing so that we can give our, I guess, our gifts or talents to the world. More people need to know certain things. And I think I was just having a discussion the other day about it. If we can deliver these to the future generation of basketball trainers and we allow them to not copy us, not be Dorian Lee, not be Gannon Baker or whatever, but you see some things that we're doing and they become their own style of trainer, that they do their own thing because we need them. If they're just doing what we're doing, the game doesn't grow. They got to get to a point where they're saying like, well, why does Dorian do this? I think this could be a better way to do it. I'm not infallible. My stuff has worked, but that doesn't mean that it can't be improved. Anything can be improved. And I think the future is getting people to become more independent thinkers, not so heavily rooted in what I'm doing is the only way or the right way, but that it is a way which allows us to appreciate every other trainer out there and not have that judgmental stance like many of us do, that this doesn't work, this isn't right, that's not how you do it. You can't tell me that's not how you do it, because Bird shot like this, Magic shot like this, Jordan shot like this, all different shots, but they were all good shooters. So which one was the right way? The future for me is breaking new trainers or developing new trainers who come with fresh ideas, and also going back to simplistic ways to teach. We don't need to be so complicated. I think part of the business of this has been, over the last 20 years, one of the greatest influxes of money grab people ever, right? And it's no knock at the trainers out there who are really doing good work, but it's a large percentage are in it for the money. They're in it to make money. We have to make money. We have to take care of our families. The root of it should be, I want to develop this person in front of me. I want this person to be the best player they can be. That should be ultimately my goal. Not, well, if they get it, they get it. If they don't, they don't. No, that's not the attitude. The attitude should be, I want this kid to get it. I'm going to give them everything I can in order for them to get it. Now, you don't throw it on kids who don't want to receive it. If they aren't ready, it's okay to say this kid is not ready for our program. Until they are ready, they probably need to train with someone else, and then they can come back to me when they're ready to really to receive the information. It's okay to do that. But when you have them in front of you, it should be no other objective other than to get them better. So that's where I see it. I see it being more simplified, not so much of the gimmicks, and more so substance that leads to in-game performance.
Yeah, thank you. So let's move on to the final question. And in your opinion, what are the musts of basketball in 5 to 10 words?
This is a good one. All right, so shoot, pass, shoot, pass, dribble, but in a way that you can win. And I count those: shoot, dribble, pass, defend, in a way you can win.
Yeah.
In. We got it. That's basketball.
Perfect. Thank you. thank you for joining me, and thank you for all of your answers. Actually, I want to ask you thousands of questions, but I don't want to steal your time. Thank you for all of your answers. And today I would love to make another one, part two of this, in your free time.
We love it. And we can talk more specifics if you want to talk about specific stuff like shooting. What is the philosophy behind the shooting? What is philosophy behind ball control and ball control principles? I would love to talk about that stuff and even the game as I see it. I love basketball, and basketball is such an important sport in the world in terms of giving players confidence in other areas of life. So it's still very, very important to me, and I love to talk about it in any way, shape, or form.
Thank you. Sounds good. I would love to, and I'll write some content and write back to you about what we can do together. Thank you.
Let's do it, man. Thank you so much for having me too. I really appreciate you, man, and continue to do the great work. I love it.
Thank you. And hope to see you in person.
One of my top players, Yvonne Anderson, is playing for Fenerbahce. So
really?
I will be, yes, I will be in Turkey at some point this season.
Yeah, I would love to catch you and like meet with you in person in Turkey, or if I catch you in US.
Starbucks on me.
Yeah. Let's meet in Starbucks. Yeah.
Good deal, man. So yeah. Thank you.
Thank you and keep in touch. See you.
All right. Take care.
In this episode, we are with Dorian Ailey. Thank you for your time. I hope you enjoy. See you in next episode. Bye-bye.